Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to have them answered immediately.
The segment most likely to get someone suspended, fired, or at least spending the night on the couch.
Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it.
This is basically a giant list of things you can't do.
Yeah, it sounds thrilling.
I will tell you a deeply personal story.
So what's your question?
I have a tendency to overshare.
Quid pro quo. I tell you things, you tell me things.
What is your worst memory of childhood?
Death of my father.
Tell me about it and don't lie, or I'll know.
I can't have it. You know, I can't do it, Henry. You know, can't do it.
Can't do it. Can't do it.
You can't do it, and I have to do it, and I don't want to have to do that, Sonny.
You just can't do it.
The deal. Can't do it.
I can't do it. That's what you said, huh? I can't do it.
This hour on The Score brought to you by Pontiac RV, 312-644-6767, you know the number, 312-644-6767. One question to one person. Mac is out today. He's at the hospital with his father, so me, Shep, and Tanny are your huckleberries. Looks like Tim Anderson got on base again and then wiped his nose on the Rays first baseman's jersey sleeve.
That's a classic celebration move right there. Like the Cubs used to have the hands on the helmet thing. I like that. Like that should be the Sox thing. Their celebration when they get a single or double. Just find the closest defender and wipe your nose on their arm.
That dude seemed to take it very well and gave it back to him a little bit, but mad disrespectful to just wipe your nose there. But come on.
Like, snot is disgusting. Like,
yeah.
Goo.
I get the same thing. It is very gooey and very disgusting, and it's personal. Keep that to yourself.
Keep your germs to your damn self, Tim Anderson, but keep hitting the ball like you are. Man.
He's killing it. 312-644-6767. Might have to open this up to the texters today. Not getting too many good calls, but we'll take Elliot and Elgin. He's up first. Elliot, who's your question for?
First, Shepkowski.
Okay.
Elliot.
Yeah, what radio partner ultimately brings the best out of Bernstein? Goff or McKnight?
Ooh, let's see. I think they go deeper in conversations when it was Dan and Jason, like more deep into the serious topic type of thing. But in terms of like breaking down, especially baseball, Connor gets more out of them there. I kind of taken both sides on saying that. I'm not trying to say can't do it. It's just I don't have a better answer for you. There are two.
So you essentially are saying can't do it.
If you want a prize pack, I'll give you a damn prize pack. But yeah, it's two entirely different shows now, or not now, but the two shows sound entirely different, and it's a lot more like I love listening to Dan and Connor during all year, but baseball season especially. Like when they talk to Joshi and the excitement they get from that, but just breaking down the most detailed things baseball-wise. I think it's great for baseball fans. It's a gift for everyone to have.
Okay, that's the most long-winded can't do it ever.
Can't do it.
Can't do it.
Can't do it.
Trying to buy time to get us another call.
Okay, give Elliot a prize pack. That is, it's well done. Someone wants a free sample of Blue Chew on the text line. Man, just chew it and do it. Get it yourself. It's $5 in shipping. I'm going to start reading texts until we get better calls.
Don't forget that promo code either.
Promo code SCORE. That's what gets you the only got to pay the shipping. Thank you.
Yeah, you don't want someone else getting your monies.
Yeah, promo code SCORE, please. Asking for my most wild psychedelic experience. This will disappoint you. I've never done a psychedelic drug. Acid, shrooms, LSD. Never, always scared me. Never wanted to lose control of my faculties, which is a weird way of describing it. Faculties. Never wanted to do that, but I kind of regret not doing shrooms. Comes out of the ground, probably be fine. But, yeah, never taken a psychedelic drug before. By the way, this segment brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Wolves have clinched their third straight Central Division title. Be there Saturday and Sunday for the final regular season games. For tickets and playoff information, visit ChicagoWolves.com. 312-644-6767. Mike in Grays Lake, you're on Can't Do It. Who's your question for?
Looks like it's Shep's lucky day. I want Shep.
Okay. Shep is screening a couple of calls right now, but he's ready for you, Mike. Go ahead.
All right. While you guys were at Scorehouse in Arizona, Mac mentioned that there was somebody that is on the same floor as you guys, but on the FM side of the radio, who was not very desirable personality, but nobody mentioned any names, and Shep knew exactly who Mac was talking about. I want to know who it was.
Yeah, I wish I had a name for you. I don't even know the guy's name. But he walks around with the backwards cap on, and it's like he's always angry.
Oh, the dude from the – I don't know his name either.
I have no idea what his name is, but he looks like he's always in a bad mood. Just want to, like, elbow him and joke around with him, but I'm scared that he's going to take out his – he just seems angry.
Mike, I can tell you that it's probably once every 3 months that Max says that he's going to offer Shep a sizable amount of money to just go kick that guy in the face. Like, Mac hates this guy's face. It's hilarious. But we honestly don't know his name. Honestly, because we're scared of him. But we're sorry that we don't know the man's name. Thank you for calling. 312-644-6767. JD and DeKalb, you're on Can't Do It. Who's your question for?
My question's for you, Parco.
Okay.
What's the weirdest place you've ever taken yourself to Pound Town?
Taken myself? Oh, he just dropped off. I'm going to guess he doesn't mean just me and myself. Or do you think he means myself?
That's not how it was phrased on the call screener, so I'm guessing that's not what he meant.
Okay, of coitus, the physical act of love?
I mean, but a guy, I know, him and her got it on.
Yeah, right.
That's what that was like. Is he mixing up the terminology? I don't understand.
I would say balcony in Vegas, like overlooking an area. This is my first real experience with voyeurism. That was weird. It's tough to perform. Constantly worried about
an area, just a general generic area.
What do you mean? Like a room with a balcony in the daytime. Oh, you know, it's there's
the way you describe it, so sensual. We're overlooking an area.
No, I mean, I don't mean it like that. You can hear me blushing through the radio, but yeah, I'm not a big exhibitionist voyeur type. So that was, I was constantly distracted. So for me, that was the weirdest place. If you were talking about my,
you say area, and I picture this empty parking lot that's next to the building here.
No, I mean, Vegas is fairly populated. That was the issue. The Cosmopolitan has lovely rooms with these decks, but you know, there's lots of people who can see you, and that's just not my thing at all. Okay, good talk, boys. Good talk, Russ.
Surprising, I gotta say.
Yeah, well, I'm just being honest, man. It's not my thing. When it happened, and I don't think I did a very good job. Dan in Springfield, you're on Can't Do It. Who's your question for?
Parkins.
What's up, man?
Who at Scorehouse down in Arizona, of the on-air personalities, who did not smoke pot?
I get this question every week. You guys keep trying to get me to, you know, the only people who have admitted to it are me, Mac, and Connor. I said I'm not putting anyone else's business out there who didn't want it out there. That's asked and answered, my man. I'm sorry. I see what you're doing. It's asked and answered. I'm not doing this again. I'm not going to continue to give prizes. I've already given that out twice since it happened. No. Texter says, no, he means self, you and yourself. Yeah, I was talking about sex on the balcony. Myself, it's got to be while driving. Told that story before. That was just reckless and dangerous. But on I-90 East, those 9-hour drives to Syracuse, I don't know why, but, you know, you're 19 years old, 20 years old. Just seemed like the thing to do at the time. Again, not proud of it, but that was weird. 312-644-6767. In Elgin, Steve is on Can't Do It. What up, Steve?
Yes, this is for Shep.
Shep.
You want to know
Okay, Shep is Shep's.
I love this segment when I'm screening calls and trying to give out prize packs. Let me just tell you that. What's up?
You love the segment all the time, Shep. Answer the man's question.
What was the question? Sorry, I didn't hear it.
Oh, my bad. I'm listening.
I want to know what one thing in your past, if you got caught, you would have gone to jail.
Gone to jail?
What's a thing that you've done in your past that if you got caught, you would have gone to jail?
I mean, it's like, no, not like running a tournament pool. Like, no, nothing like that. I would say the dumbest things we did in high school that we probably could have gotten arrested for were Jackass. The MTV show was huge at the time.
Loves Jackass.
So we would film our own Jackass videos, which involved like running into stop signs and knocking stop signs like out of the ground, running into strangers' garage doors and just filming it straight up. Like, it didn't ever actually have physical damage to someone else's property, but probably could have been arrested for disturbing the peace or whatever it might have been.
Good enough.
Yeah, that's a good one. Disturbing the peace. Trying to think.
I don't have anything like that.
Well, there was... This is embarrassing.
Boring.
This is embarrassing. There was one time, a buddy of mine, I didn't know the guys, but the guy who took me to this incident is one of my best friends. He knew a guy who had a gambling debt. This was back when we were in college, and he had a gambling debt of like $400, you know, not a ton of money. And the guy who we owed it to had a ton of money, so the money wasn't that significant, but he couldn't pay it. And so he decided to settle the debt by a fruiting. You say, well, what's a fruiting? Well, he allowed him to go to the grocery store and buy the amount of the debt, $400, worth of fruit, worth of produce. And he got a bunch of dudes together, and we went, and they were at the side of a school, and he had to stand up against the wall and take his fruiting, like a stoning back in the day or something. And people were throwing, you know, fruit at him, and it was exploding all over the wall. And I mean, I told you it's embarrassing.
I'm so confused by the logistics of this. So
yeah, there was a fruiting.
So the person who was in debt could get out of the debt by essentially paying the money that they owed?
No. The guy who had plenty of money.
Okay,
the guy
that person paid for the fruit.
He paid for the fruit.
Okay.
And so he got the pleasure out of what he got to wipe the man's debt clean, but he got to pelt him with $400 worth of fruit. But instead of just him throwing, you know, oranges and avocados and peaches and all that.
Oh, no, not avocados.
He enlisted a bunch of his friends to do it so it could be more of like a firing squad style. And so there were like 8 or 9 of us pelting this dude with fruit. And I don't know what charge that would be, but it was on public property and it just seemed super unethical. And I'm ashamed to admit that I threw some peaches at this guy to settle a debt. It was a fruiting. Joe, you're on Can't Do It. Who's your question for?
Questions for Danny Sparkins.
Yeah, what's up, man? It was a run-by fruiting. Sorry.
I'm going to preface it by saying I really like the cut of your jib and everything. But your comments about Rose and such prompted the question. And the question is, when is it okay to cheat?
You're talking about, okay, because I talked about the standardized test. Listen, man,
exactly.
I'm not an absolutist on this stuff. I think that there can be circumstances. Is it great that Derrick Rose, there was some cheating or impropriety with the standardized test to get into college? No. However, ends justifying the means, I think, exists sometimes. A texter brought this up, and I think it's a good point, and it's the one that's out on the top of my head, so I'll share it with you. If your family is starving, and there's a bread stand, and you could steal a loaf of bread to feed your family, and you don't have the money, are you really not stealing that loaf of bread in order to feed your wife and kids? I think most of us are. So are there times where the ends justify the means to cheat, to break a law, to break a rule? Yes, and you've got to deal with the consequences. If you get caught shoplifting, there's consequences. He got caught with the standardized test, there's consequences. But the consequences were not significant enough for him, where he's like, I got to be in the NBA. I got to go to college. I got to get that platform. It got to help get my family out of Inglewood. And it got to sit, allowed him to make money and provide for generations and generations after that. And if he would have had to go to a local junior college and not get out, who knows what could have happened. So for him, in that instance, it absolutely, the ends justified the means of cheating. Not for everybody. It's not the same as Lori Loughlin paying $500K as a rich family to get her daughter who doesn't care about school into USC so that she could be a YouTube blogger. Escaping the Brentwood mansion of Aunt Becky is not the same as escaping Inglewood for Derrick Rose and the situation that his family was in. Not the same. A lot of people on the text line were comparing it to the admission scandal of today. So I don't think people need to be an absolutist on this. I get that there's plenty of moralists out there who say that they've never done anything wrong and they've never liked Derrick Rose from that moment on. Okay, fair enough. I'm sure you live a perfectly pure life where you've never made a mistake and you've never done anything with any sort of impurity in order to benefit you or your family. Good for you. I can't say that I've lived that life, and I don't think most people have either. The Bulls season is over. What reasons for optimism were there? And is there anything to look forward to beyond May 14th, the day of the NBA draft lottery? Will Perdue always shoots it straight with us on the Bulls. He will do so coming up next on The Score.
Can't do it.
Can't do it.
You can't do it.
On 670 The Score.
Biggest thing I learned this year, there's so many things, Tone, you know, brother. I learned that when you become the head coach, you have a lot more ticket requests. I learned that when you become the head coach, you don't sleep as well. I learned that when you become the head coach, that it's your responsibility to coach every guy, regardless of his past or his salary or whatever, as hard as you can. And that's what I tried to do.
Bulls head coach Jim Boylan talking to our guy Tony Gill. Calls him Tone. They're tight like that. About what he's learned so far this season after the Bulls capped the worst home season record in the history of the franchise last night.
There's so many things, Tone. You know, brother.
I got one more, and then it's over mercifully, and that's good, because the season will all come down to May 14th, the NBA draft lottery, and if the Bulls can get lucky, there's hope, and if they can't, there's probably not. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Football. Don't miss your chance to watch Big Ten football at Ryan Field this fall as the Big Ten West champion. Northwestern Wildcats host Ohio State, Michigan State, and more. Season tickets on sale at NUSports.com. Though maybe there's something I'm missing. And there is some Cubs news. Joe Maddon confirms that Tyler Chatwood will start Sunday in place of John Lester. We can get into that a little bit later on. But this guy always shoots it straight. He's a great analyst and friend of the show from NBC Sports Chicago. Will Perdue with us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline, home of F-150s, for $229 a month. What reason for optimism beyond the draft lottery do you see, Will? And thank you for the time, as always.
Well, I mean, you just made my day. I didn't realize I was a friend of the show. I just thought I was a guest of the show. There's a huge difference of being a friend of the show and a guest of the show. Thank you.
Not a problem. In the pre-show meeting, if we say, hey, you think Will Perdue will come on? If everyone immediately says he'll come on, that means you're a friend of the show.
Okay, but I guess the main thing is, and I'm not trying to avoid the question, I'll get to that, but I imagine if the right person says no, then you're like, all right, moving on.
Listen, maybe. I'm not saying it's that impressive of a distinction, but it's a distinction nonetheless.
All right, so listen. Has the season been disappointing? Absolutely. You know, it was one of those things that you just pointed out last night. As I've kind of gotten caught up in the season, I've tried to put a lot of things out of my mind, and then all of a sudden, you know, we're doing the post-game show, and they flash that up that the Bulls only won 9 home games. And I remember looking at Kendall Gill and Mark Schanowski and like, really? That's it? And I was just like, man, that's just kind of indicative of how this season has gone, and it's just very unfortunate. And yeah, it's been a long 2 years, quite honestly. But you know, there are some things that, as you said, we should be optimistic about, and that's the core. And I know fans are getting tired of hearing that, the core. But when you think about Zach LaVine, and then you think about Otto Porter, and you think about, you know, Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr., that's a great place to start. But that's a great place to start. We need to now branch out from the start and separate ourselves from these last 2 years. And a lot of it has to do with, as you pointed out, how lucky can we get on the 14th? But also at the same time, can we actually get these guys healthy and can they stay healthy to where we can get an honest view of how good, true assessment of what the future really looks like? We've just had too many things happen to where we can't really make an honest assessment. We can talk about potential. We can talk about the possibilities. But until we can actually get ourselves in a position and ask these guys to truly develop.
Will, we got to put you on hold to be sure that we can get a better connection. That's the dilemma, right? The players, when you just say their names, sounds good. LaVine, Markkanen, Porter, Wendell Carter, and hopefully the number one pick, and certainly hopefully a top three pick, but maybe not, maybe a seventh pick, sixth pick, whatever. Another young piece this year. And then they'll add a veteran point guard in free agency. Zach LaVine is guaranteeing the playoffs for next year. Sure. The question is, beyond health, in my opinion, is a question of ceiling. If you got really optimistic about that core, and it wasn't with the addition of Zion Williamson, right? Let's assume they don't add Zion Williamson or Ja Morant. They don't get really lucky and get the first or the second pick. How high of a ceiling does that core have? That, to me, is the next problem with it. Because, sure, the core sounds good in theory. But I just don't think that there is superstar potential there. And maybe that's enough assets that the next time a superstar comes around who gets disgruntled, you can trade for that player. But then do you actually have enough left on the back end? Reconnecting with Will Perdue from NBC Sports Chicago. What I was going to ask you to follow that up with, Will, is, okay, the core, you're right. It sounds good when you list the names, but barring serious luck on May 14th, how high of a ceiling do you think that core has?
Well, that's the one thing I was talking about. We really don't know because they haven't stayed healthy enough for us to get a big body of work to sit and say, okay, they played 40 games together. They played 50 games together. How many ever games where you can give an honest opinion of how good they are as a group? There's solid individual talent. I don't think we can argue about that. But now how do we get this talent together to play well on a consistent basis, night in and night out, on both ends of the floor? And that's what we don't know, and that's what makes things, you know, so frustrating because of that fact. And you made a valid point, you know, as of late, with the picks that the Bulls have had, with Lowry Markkanen, with Wendell Carter Jr., they've hit home runs, in my opinion, at the seventh pick. There's a lot of people that are talking about, hey, man, after the first two, because now even people are concerned about Barrett, about how good can he really be. All of a sudden now you're talking about, so, you know, Ja Morant is number two. And then we all know who number one is, but then now there's concern that there's significant drop-off after the first two. So then we're, you know, now that requires that the Bulls really got to do their due diligence for if they don't get one and they don't get two and they don't, you know, don't get Zion or Ja, who are they going to go with, whether it's three, four, five, six, whatever it may be, because now there's no consensus on after those two about who's your next best player available that you pick.
Do you think Lowry Markkanen can turn into a superstar?
Has the physical makeup to be a superstar. I really do. But what we don't know is, again, you know, he ran into some difficulties last year. He's now run into some difficulties this year, you know, from a health standpoint. And you just hope and pray that he's not one of those guys that for whatever reason, you know, every year it's something different, and you just feel like it's somebody that's snake bitten. I feel like if he can truly stay healthy and not have to face these issues, and that's the other thing. Some of this stuff is just kind of weird. It's not like we have a definitive answer on what it is or what it has been this year as of late, that, you know, he can actually be put in that position to where he can truly succeed and be that superstar.
We're talking to Will Perdue from NBC Sports Chicago. It seems inevitable that if the Bulls don't draft Ja Morant, and maybe even if they do, that they're going to add a veteran point guard. They've talked about adding a veteran presence, and clearly Chris Dunn isn't the point guard of the future. Do you have a veteran point guard that you like in particular to add to this team?
There's guys out there that I think could help, but there's not necessarily one that I think is going to make a significant difference. You know, I think there's plenty of them, let me rephrase that, that's going to be better than what we currently have. You know, the interesting thing that has been talked about, and not necessarily talked about from the Bulls per se, but let's say that unfortunately things don't go well and the Bulls actually get outside the fourth pick. Is there a realistic chance that you could actually take your pick, maybe and throw in Chris Dunn, and then possibly get a solid point guard with that draft pick and Chris Dunn in that scenario?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I don't know if the Bulls are going to trade a top six pick in this draft. They love lottery picks and cheap contracts and guys.
Well, that's the thing, is you talk about they've hit, you know, you didn't say it, but I've said they've hit home runs with Market and Wendell Carter Jr. at 7.
You think Wendell Carter Jr. is a home run? You think you've seen enough to say that?
He's a home run on the defensive end of the floor. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Just his ability, and he knows how to play defense, and that's a skill, knowing how to play. Not to say that he can't, you know, it's not like he's a humongous leaper, but he's got great timing to block shots. He understands the proper rotations. What I don't know with him, and this is another issue because he just, to me, didn't get a chance to play enough games, is you know, what type of player is he going to be on the offensive end? And again, because of the guys that we do have in LaVine and Porter and Markin and guys that need their touches, he's way down the ladder on significance as far as, you know, guys that they're going to run plays for. A guy that he really reminds me of, the more I see him play and the more I see the role that they're going to need him to play, is Horace Grant. And one of the things that Phil Jackson used to always say to Horace Grant when Horace would complain about not getting enough touches, he'd be like, "Horace, if you want more touches, go get more offensive rebounds, because that's how you're going to get your touches on this team."
Yeah, this team doesn't have a Michael and a Scotty to take up the touches, but I hear what you're saying. Like, if Wendell Carter is what you say he is defensively, then him and Markkanen feels like a front court of the future that can be versatile in this NBA.
Well, and part of the reason why I say that is because currently the trend, and you see a lot of teams doing it, you know, they switch on perimeter screen rolls. And Wendell Carter has shown me that he has the ability. Now, I'm not asking him to stay in front of Kyrie Irving. Not going to happen.
Right.
He's going to struggle to stay in front of Steph Curry. But for the most part, he's solid as far as a big. If you run a screen roll, a team runs a screen roll with LaVine, or if a team runs a screen roll with Otto Porter's man or whoever the point guard is for next year, he has that ability to stay in front of a guy or direct him towards the help, where, you know, currently as effective as Lopez has been offensively, he just doesn't have the skill set or the quickness to do that defensively.
We're talking to Will Perdue from NBC Sports Chicago. Jim Boylan has the vote of confidence from management. He just finished at the top of an Athletic player poll, a player poll done by the Athletic.
I saw that.
You know, of coach you would least like to play for. I don't know if that's just because of the stuff after the Boston game and the idea of practice after a back-to-back, or if it's other things. Has he proven anything to you over the course of the season to suggest, you know what, this guy actually could be a good NBA coach? Not replacement level, but an actually, you know, advantageous, good NBA coach.
I don't have the answer to that. I can't sit here and say most definitely. But what I do know about Boylan is he knows the game, okay, and he understands the game. I'm not necessarily saying he's an X's and O's guy, but I've reached out, and, you know, like I said, he always, and believe me, everybody knows, he's talked about, he's been on Popovich's staff and Tom Zamovich's staff and down the list. I mean, he has learned the game from some of the best. And when you talk to him, I mean, you can tell that he knows the game. He's got to continue to work on, you know, player relationships, the ability to now take that knowledge that he has and pass it on to the players to where now they can accept what he is saying. And I'm not saying they're not accepting it now, but it's now got to convey to the message that he's getting to the players. And it's got to convey that they have to take that and then put it out on the floor. There's some kind of disconnect somewhere from, you know, what he knows and what we're seeing out on the floor, you know, at the present moment. I understand that we got a bunch of G League guys out there. We got a bunch of guys playing on, you know, for contracts. But, you know, I would expect to see just a little bit of a better product. And I think, to me, that's why, and I know people may question this, but I think it's vitally important for them to bring back Robin Lopez, because Lopez is a guy that I think that will help Jim Boylan get his message across. And quite honestly, I think Lopez will make Boylan a better coach because of the fact that Lopez, the belief he has in him, but also the control of the locker room that Robin Lopez has on this team.
Yeah, I mean, if they don't, they certainly need other veteran influences so that things don't get out of hand like they borderlined on at different times this season. Will, we'll get you out of here with this. You actually crossed paths with a young Dirk. You guys were in the league together. Do you have a young Dirk story or no?
Yeah, I do. And probably one of the best Dirk stories I have is when I was finished playing, and back in the day when I was doing games on NBA radio, you know, one of the first games I ever did was with the Dallas Mavericks. And I had known Dirk from when I had played with him and had a relationship with him and never had any problems. And was talking to Dirk, and as I was talking to him, I was like, wait a minute, this dude's taller than me. And I looked at him and I said, hey, wait a minute. I said, it says right here, you're only 6'11". And he just kind of, you know, had a sly grin on his face. And I said, this isn't right. I said, you're at least 7'1". I said, I'm 7 feet. You're at least 7'1". He's like, no, I'm not. I'm like, yes, you are. No, I'm not. I'm like, come on, man, what's the beef? He goes, his guy, as everybody knows, that taught him to play the game, said that when you go to the United States, don't ever tell anybody that you're 7 feet tall, because they'll try to put you in the post and make you a center. And you are not a center. You are a small, or should we say you're 7'1", but you're a small forward in a center's body. Don't let them ever try to pigeonhole you. So ever since then, he's always said he's 6'11", when he's 7'1", maybe even 7'2".
What a ridiculous career that guy had.
I mean, think about this. He was the developer of the unorthodox shot. And I'm not just saying one, but numerous unorthodox shots as far as the way he used to play. He was one of the guys that changed the game.
Yep, the 7-footer with the high finish, the fadeaway, the unblockable shot, the changing expectations for what a European player could be, and big men who could stretch the floor and shoot. Absolutely changed the game.
But I also think about this, the fact that he had not only an organization, but a coaching staff that believed in him, because if people talk about what he became, go back and look at his numbers early. Not impressive at all. And the Dallas Mavericks took a lot of heat for drafting him because he wasn't an instant success. It took time for him to develop over his career.
Will Perdue from NBC Sports Chicago, whether he wants it or not, a friend of the show. Thanks, Will.
I wear that across my chest.
Right. Which do you cherish more, that title or any of the four rings?
You don't want to know the answer to that.
I'll talk to you later, buddy. That's Will Perdue from NBC Sports Chicago. We're going to hear some Theo coming up. Also, Tyler Chatwood is starting Sunday, so hold on to your butts, and some great audio that we haven't got to yet that needs to happen. It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score. Tough day on the South Side. Tampa over the White Sox, 8-0, bottom of the sixth. How many people do you think are there at that game right now?
Just talked to one of them.
What do you mean?
Will was just taken off from the Sox game.
No.
Dead serious.
Why? I mean, I know he loves baseball.
He's probably sitting not in a seat. I'm sure he's in a suite.
Yeah, and plus he likes evaluating pitching. This is right there for him if he wants things to evaluate.
Oh, is there some evaluating to do, too?
struggle Will, for Ronaldo Lopez.
Yeah, I don't want to blow up Will's spot, but he's often seen in the suite level. I've seen him up there a couple times. So
he's a huge baseball fan, but man, tough game to go to. They're wearing the winter parkas and the face guards and all that stuff. It looks miserable.
And the Daniel Polkas are
Daniel Polkas are in attendance. Man, Tanny, have you been watching this game closely?
Tanny. Yeah. Are you excited about those White Sox?
Yeah. I'm very excited. Somehow even more excited than when they were 2-3.
Okay.
I'm elated about this ball club.
All right, smart guy. Well, what's gone wrong today? I saw Ronaldo Lopez got shelled.
Oh, you can't get anybody out. You can't score any damn runs.
Yeah.
Okay, and no one's there. Got it. Okay.
Other than
Daniel
that.
Palka couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat.
Lovely. All right.
Lopez, you know, he gave up 3 runs, I believe it was, in the first inning. It was one of the longest first innings in Major League history, seemingly.
Okay, we'll check that.
Yeah, stat guy will check that for us. But he seemed to settle down a bit, and then he was left out there to pitch when he had over 90 pitches, and then you know he put a nice capper to the day by giving up a few more runs. So
I was like,
okay, 3 runs early, settled down a bit, but they have no chance today against Tyler Glasnow, who Shep pointed out in the email this morning that he has been lights out since coming over from the Pirates. I don't know why they decided to trade this guy for Chris Archer. It doesn't make sense. But, you know, such is life, such is baseball. And
they needed their own version of the baseball police with Pittsburgh, though. And Chris Archer has done just that.
Yes.
Well, it's Dollar Dog Wednesday, and no lines for the concession stands. And I've never been to a game quite like this, but it'd be great to go if you wanted to get a foul ball.
Well, as far as the crowd goes, this is the ideal atmosphere to watch a ball game.
Yeah.
With you have room for your bag, your coat, and, you know, stretch out a little bit in the aisle there. But, yeah, not fun times today watching this. And I'm trying to reconcile my feelings about this year's particular ball club because I think every baseball fan has a little bit of hope going into the season. I never thought they would win a division or anything, but it's just this is their worst start since 1997. If they go ahead and lose this game, which I'm going to gamble on and see, I think they're going to lose today. Their worst start since 1997, which even in the years of the rebuild, you would think like they had to have started worse than that. But nope. 1997. So, you know, I'm hoping just, you know, mathematically, that means they're more likely for a win this weekend at Yankee Stadium if they keep losing.
Oh, yeah, you'll be there.
Yeah. So, you know, if they win Saturday, that's what we're hoping for. I'd trade in a month of them losing every game in a month to win Saturday. So.
Selfish man, but I like it. By the way, Tanny, you know, I apologize for not getting the show within the show sometimes. The songs underneath it, the texters are giving you love for Excitable Boy.
I don't know why. It wasn't about anything in particular, but, you know, I'm glad they enjoy it.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, it wasn't like anything. That wasn't a show within the show thing. That was, just plain whatever.
All right. Well, people, they've complimented you a few times today, and I apologize for missing it. Speaking of what is the hottest ticket in the city right now, if the White Sox are not exactly, I don't know if you guys know this, because I've used the microphone today to try to book a guest. If anyone knows James Holzhauer, the pro sports gambler who grew up in Naperville and went to U of I and is killing it on Jeopardy right now, we'd love to talk to him on this show, try to get him a message for us. That'd be great. Also, we'll use the power of the microphone. Does anyone have a Shedd Aquarium hack? Are you guys familiar with the otter experience that they're doing at the Shedd Aquarium?
Oh, yes, yes.
Okay. It's 110.
What's the experience?
Apparently, it's 110 bucks a person, and you get to go, you get to get in there early, you get to meet an otter, you get to feed the otter.
A member. I was like, we're members of the Shedd. Do we have any special, like, do we get to get in there for a half price?
Can I meet you, please, Mr. Otter?
Listen, I don't know. You know me, man. Happy wife, happy life. She wanted to go. I tried to get tickets. They sold out. I signed up for email alerts for when they would go back on sale. Cubs opening day, they go back on sale at 10 a.m. I set out an alarm for 9:58, so I'm ready to log in right at 10 a.m. I'm at Wrigley Field. I log in. I select the tickets. Server won't let me go through. Choose a new day. Get the tickets. Server won't let me go through.
I wouldn't tip next time.
Try to call the Shedd. 25 minutes, permanent hold. By the time I log back onto the computer, all the tickets are gone. I need a Shedd hack. I need to buy some otter experience tickets. So you're a member. I don't know. I'll give you the money if you could buy me.
No, I don't even know. If I can just show up because I'm a member, you know, I would go to see this otter experience. You know, I just found out about the other day. It was one of those things like when you're a dad, you miss out on a lot of things because like things happen and you're like, oh, that was a thing that happened. Oh, that's interesting. Oh, it's already happened and tickets are sold out and you have no chance of going.
Right.
So, yeah, I would like to know if members have bit of you know, an in on this one. I doubt it. Otherwise, people would just pay for the membership.
Yeah, and I'm happy to do that too. I just have no idea. It's unbelievable. They released tickets for the rest of summer, literally through September, on their website, and they all sold out within minutes. And I can't get these otter experience tickets. So if anyone has a Shedd Aquarium hack, I would love to know it. Feel free to slide in my DMs at Danny Parkins on Twitter.
Yeah, maybe another time.
Jesus.
Have an update on our guest pursuit, by the way.
Yes. Okay. Share that with us coming up.
We'll do.
Okay. And we're going to hear from Theo Epstein ahead of our conversation with him tomorrow. And John Lester on the injured list. Tim Collins is up. Tyler Chatwood is starting Sunday. It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.